Classic Hits 98.9 WJEZ. Good morning and welcome to the Community Forum. I'm Cynthia Grand. With me in the studio today is Dale Maley. He is going to continue his talks about the history of Fairbury. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Good morning.
Now, I know you have a little bit of housekeeping to take care of, so let's go over that really quick before we get into our new subject of the day.
Yes, I will be giving another Fairbury history talk at the Pontiac Library at 7 p.m. Thursday, March 24th for the Livingston County Historical Society. So if you missed one of my other ones or you're interested in hearing one of my talks, again, it's Thursday, March 24th, 7 p.m. at the Pontiac Library. I also stopped in at the library a few days ago, and I donated copies of my four Fairbury history books to the library. They have a very nice history room in the Pontiac Library, so if you're interested, you could check out my books there as well. And then most exciting of all, we solved the mystery in regards to finding coal mine tunnel maps for one of the Fairbury coal mines. Gail Ewling, who works in the old courthouse, heard us on the radio station where I said I couldn't find any actual tunnel maps. She had stumbled across some 1939 coal mining maps for several cities, including Fairbury and the Cardiff mine. So I stopped in and she gave me a copy of the 1939 coal mining map for Fairbury. And this is the one that's out by Timber Ridge Subdivision that closed in 1941. So I'll be posting that coal mining map on the Fairbury Facebook history page very soon. So that was quite a find.
That's great teamwork, you know?
Yes, very good. Very good.
Now, moving on to today's subject, this is one we got requests for, actually. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
This is that favorite story you want to hear about, the old rivalry between the Pontiac and the Fairbury boys, when the Pontiac boys come over and tried to steal our young ladies and take them out for dates. The story actually comes from Alma Lewis's James book, Stuff Clubs and Antimacassars. It's a great book on Fairbury between 1857 and 1900. And there's still copies available either at the Echoes Museum in Fairbury or at some other stores in Fairbury. I have to give you a little setup, though, before I tell you the actual story. We have to explain what a stuffed club was, and we're talking about circa 1890. We had the McDowell brothers at that time, and they had to be the honoriest boys to ever live in Fairbury. And they discovered a new sport. For several nights, they hung around the dark alley of the arcade block, which is the block around the water tower today, busily cracking all heads that came into reach, and there were a fair number of casualties before they were caught and arrested. They were let off with a fine, but the newspaper, which was published weekly, carried the account of the outrage under the headlines, Rubber Hose, $9.45 a foot. So they took the fine amount and divided it by the length of the rubber hose. Now, these McDowell boys, they weren't happy with that. They did more ingenious development of their weapon, which became known as the Stuff Club, and it was widely used in Fairbury on the after-theater crowds, because we had a theater, and Saturday night shoppers. The victims were so numerous that when a club was finally captured and put on exhibition at the Blade newspaper office, it drew huge crowds came in eager to inspect it and see what it looked like. It proved to be a canvas sack about 6 inches in diameter and 12 inches long. It was tightly stuffed with excelsior and coarse salt and tied to a stick 2 feet long. Now, I had to look up excelsior. It's actually a wood shaving she uses as a packing material.
Oh, interesting.
So it's filled with rock salt and wood shavings. And as a weapon, it had the range, weight, and flexibility and quite easily knocked a man unconscious. And then their father was a preacher in the Methodist Church. For years, anybody that attended the quarterly church conference in Fairbury learned to be unusually wary of these stuffed clubs. But a few well-placed arrests finally put a stop to the stuffed club activities. In 1890, the exasperated village fathers ended the rest of the trouble with an ordinance providing a $25 fine for anyone maliciously disturbing a church service. Now, that'd be $665 in today's money for
Ouch.
A fine.
Ouch.
That kind of ended that activity. But now you really appreciate what a stuffed club was. So back in the 1890s, you got to remember, there's no radio, no TV, no internet. So what did young boys and girls do? Well, they often just sat on the girl's front porch. Now, the girl might play the piano, and the boy might sing to the piano. And there might be some buggy rides thrown in as well. Now, those Pontiac boys, they had a reputation of being fancy, stylish dressers. There's even an account that they wore plug hats, and they were regular Beau Brummels, per Alma Lewis James in her book. Now, I had to look up, a plug hat is like a top hat. It's like a short version of an Abe Lincoln stovepipe hat.
Okay.
That's a plug hat. That was the latest rage in that time period. Then Beau Brummel was a very dapper dresser who appeared in an 1890 Clyde Fitch play. So I hear these Pontiac boys, they were up in the latest thing of what were going on in major plays and the actors that were shown in there.
Much like it is today, right?
I guess. I don't know who the modern person would be to emulate like that.
There's too many.
There are probably too many, but boy, they were stylish dressers. So the first time a Pontiac boy appeared at a Fairbury girl's house, he was let off with a warning since it was considered that ignorance was the cause of his mistake.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, if he didn't learn that first time and he came back a second time, they waited until he reached his destination in front of the girl's house. And there in plain sight, while he paused at the gate to wipe the dust off his shoes with his pocket handkerchief, they fell upon him with rotten eggs.
Oh, my gosh.
One dose of this was usually sufficient to keep him clear of town. Now, that's a second warning. Now, if that didn't do it and he came back the third time, and as she said and recounted here, if his bravery exceeded his discretion and he came a third time, he got the stuff club treatment, which was sure to be conclusive.
Wow.
So that's
third time's a charm. What happened if it was number four, though? Would they be married by then and they couldn't do much about it anymore?
That's a good question. I don't know, but I'm sure there's a rivalry's going on for years and years, but that's a pretty nasty way of treating it back
then.
It just
built up from that. Now it's all about football and basketball, right?
Yes, that's right. That's right. So that's the story of the age-old rivalry where the Pontiac boys tried to come over and steal the young ladies from Fairbury.
That's where it all started.
That's where it all started.
Oh, my gosh. That's interesting, though. I never thought that it would be something like that, but I will keep that in mind for days to come for sure.
Okay.
So what are some other things we're going to be talking about in the next couple weeks?
I actually researched all the murders that occurred in Fairbury. We're going to talk about that. There's good news is there's only been eight since the city was founded. And then I also did research on everyone who's written a book in Fairbury. And we're going to go through the book authors.
Very good. Very good. That'll be a lot of fun. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We've been speaking with Dale Maley. He is an author and historian from Fairbury. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Community Forum. I'm Cynthia Groff for Classic Hits 98.9 WJEZ.